Good morning. Today is Tuesday, March the 15th.
No.
Here we are. The middle of something.
Dave Hull.
Hi, Brian.
Is alongside the general manager of the Humboldt Community Services District. The guy who likes water and plays with it all the time. You know, Dave, I can't find... Oh, there's a march.
See?
You're close now. We found march. All right, we found our quote, and there it is. Julius Caesar, Act One. Beware the Ides of March. There it is. All right.
That's the best we could do today?
Oh, I see. Beware the Ides of Flat Tire.
Yeah.
No, okay. let's see. Is there anything else that's marchy? Okay. Who was the source of, or what century? I'll even give you a broad.
Okay.
March comes in like a lion and goes out like a lamb. What century did that come from?
The 13th.
No. They didn't write back then. 1600s. From John Fletcher in A Wife for a Month. That's probably not a good philosophy to go by.
It wasn't the 1600s, apparently.
Yeah, at that time, yeah. Yeah, or they were laughing at Shakespeare.
Yeah.
In the late 1500s. So last time we got together, sir, you were doing, you had a contractor doing some drilling for you along Myrtle Avenue.
Yes.
Underground, kind of mole-like.
That's right.
How'd that go?
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought that up because on March 2nd, we actually finished that. That was a directional drilling project. So it's kind of like drilling a well, only horizontal. And we put in a 6-inch HDPE pipe, so it's high-density polyethylene pipe, sewer pipe. And we did about 1,600 feet of it. If we would have done it in the open trench method, which we usually do, it's down about 10 feet. It probably would have taken us probably 2 months to do the whole project because that's a long distance. That's lots of traffic control. It's right in the middle of Myrtle Avenue and Hubbard and everything.
Yeah, but now the ducks didn't have a landing strip.
Doing the drill project, it only took 3 weeks. And that was, you know, we did it in three sections, so it was about a section a week. And we still have bits and pieces of hooking it together now and, you know, filling in a little bit of holes and stuff. But we came across some interesting things. Remember, we set this up as kind of a test for us because this may be something we do in the future.
It would be a test in the process or a test in the size pipe?
No, a test in the process. The directional drill is, you know, it's not anything that's brand new, but to our agency, it's a relatively new thing to put in sewer lines. And so this was a great application for it. It came in price-wise just about the same, including engineering, as it would have been if we would have done it ourselves with the open trench method. Plus, we saved about 500 feet of digging up street by being able to drill in a more direct route than we would have had to go with the trench.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us, Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Dave Hull. Dave, looking at the experiences that you guys had now with this trenching outfit, this process, this opportunity for savings, and to be able to do it in inclement weather also, why would you ever turn your back on these guys?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like the process, anyway, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, not this particular firm, but yeah. I mean, it would seem like for everything other than the really large projects, It's arthroscopic surgery instead of, you know, flaying somebody open.
Yeah, it really is. And we've all driven over where, you know, no matter how good you patch the pavement, it's never quite like it is when you overlay the whole thing and it's a nice road surface. Doing this drill project, like I was saying, was kind of an experiment for us. In this case, it was a pressure sewer line, so we didn't care about the fall. Generally, it was down 10 feet, and it was well under all the other utilities and everything, and could tie in perfectly with where we were going. A water line would also be a candidate for this kind of a thing. The only place that we would probably would be kind of third on the list if we would do it at all is a gravity sewer line, because although these guys are good and the machine's capable of it, depending on soil conditions and just how it works, it might be hard to get the fall for a gravity sewer line just perfect. So those might still be open trench jobs. But certainly for water lines and for pressure sewer lines, this may be something we look toward in the future.
Do other water delivery districts, departments, use this on a pretty regular basis? Or is this kind of cutting edge stuff?
It's sort of cutting edge for up here. The bigger cities, of course, use things like this just because they've got so much congestion and things. They've kind of spearheaded this technology. You see this technique used quite a bit for like fiber optic things, where it's, you know, small diameter sort of things. They got a snake lying around to do stuff. So, like I said, it's not new technology at all, but for our district and for our area up here, it's something that looks very promising.
Huh. I'm just saying, with Harrison in Eureka, one of the main drags, it used to be, well, we used to kid about it, you know, that you needed a half track to drive it. And the city, county, PG&E all got together. Yep. They undergrounded the lines. But it was, what, $1 million a mile to underground?
It was really expensive.
Number. I'm wondering if this would be a way to supplant undergrounding utilities.
Yeah, well, I think they do. I think, like I said, with the cable and things like that. Yeah. Now, where you also run into something is like on our pressure sewer line. If we were to run in laterals, like if it went down a street and you had connections that came in from houses into the middle of the street, that's a trickier thing for this kind of pipe. Doesn't really do well with that sort of thing. But doing these, like in our case, we're doing this long stretch. You know, this piece that we did is essentially a 4,000-foot project, of which we did about 1,700 feet with this directional drill, where there's relatively, you know, where there's basically no connections. It goes kind of from manhole to manhole to manhole, sort of a thing. That's a perfect application.
More like a toll road.
Yeah.
Rather than
or the freeway.
Ramps.
Yeah.
Yeah, without people walking on it in the middle of the night dressed in black.
Yeah.
It's. I mean, I would think with the positive experience, I mean, there must be some guys who have had negative or some challenging situations, but I would think that this kind of really sets the table up for your next projects down the road. I mean, if it's less expensive, if it's quicker, if it's an all-weather project, and the results are really positive, holy cow.
Yeah, you know, and the one thing that's been good about us, in a sense, waiting, you know, till this kind of time in history is that you know, these guys have had enough experience that they know how it works and they know where to look for things. There's an interesting technique that you go along. Even though this thing is 10 feet down and we're only drilling a 10-inch, you know, hole down there, making this tube underground, there still can be enough pressure that it will buckle the pavement up on the surface. And so what you do is you drill these little holes that are only like 6 inches in diameter.
They look like you should have had like a light standard or something.
Exactly. Those go clear to 10 feet down, and as the drill goes along, it's pushing drilling mud just like you would if you were drilling a water well or an oil well
or a wood drill bit.
It's pushing this mud along. Well, it needs to have a place to go, so it goes out these little sort of vent holes, if you call them. We call them frack holes. But that keeps the pavement from not cracking.
So it's not an auger that they use that pulls it out.
No, that's right. It pushes the goo along as it's drilling and it's reaming the line, and when you pull the pipe. So it's pretty. It's so that's a technique. Although you're making little holes, in the road. You're not digging this big old wide trench.
And you're not going across the whole thing.
Yeah, correct.
Developing,
you know, the other thing, too, we talked about this last time, but a 10-foot deep trench, that's, you know, to put our guys in there to do that, you got to have the shoring. It's a very slow process because you got to have the shoring in to keep the sides from caving in on the people. You got to move that shoring as you go. It's a labor-intensive process to do it. Not impossible, but it takes a lot of time. Like I said, this job would have taken us a couple of months to do what we did in 3 weeks. So,
well, I would also think that based on the soil composition, you've got different conditions for your shoring. With this thing, sand to mud to rock, it's going through.
It's going through, but it is important to go out and sample ahead of time so the driller knows what he's up against.
The right, because right drill bit.
The right drill bit, and it depends on the consistency of the soil to make the wall stand up.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Dave Hull, General Manager of the Humboldt Community Services District. Talk Shop presented by Redec and by CDH Painting. Dave, so what's next? I mean, you got this one. I would imagine we could call it a positive experience with this pipe that was coming from Harrison through onto Myrtle.
It is. Directional drilling's in our future, I'm sure.
Yeah. I would imagine that the crew is looking at your punch list going, yeah, 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 yeah.
Well, like I was saying,
is it that simple?
We're not quite done, so we're going to have the meeting of everybody. You know, the crew's been very good at watching what's going on, so we're going to compare notes when it's over and see. But I've already started to see that as we go through our CIP development, which we're doing right now, saying, oh, we could drill that. We could drill that. How about drilling that? So anyway, I'm pretty sure we're not going to be in the market for a drilling machine, but having a contractor do it, I think there's some applications. It's the right thing to do.
So how'd you find out about these guys?
Well, it was really kind of a spinoff from the Martin Slough project. We had done the open trench work down Harris and down Hubbard, and when we got down there by Myrtletown Market, there was a lot of utilities in the street, and that it was going to be very problematic and very slow going to weave our open trench through all these utilities and everything. And we just sort of said, shoot, what about the drilling project? What about that? And so we did some exploration and ended up doing a contract, and the contract came out to be, like I said, less than what it would have cost us to do it ourselves. So, it worked out good and less disruption. So there's a lot of positives out there. There was a lot of oversight, you know, kind of construction management, but you'd expect
because
that.
Because of the first time? And the relationship wasn't there? Or that's just how you do things?
I think kind of both. You know, I wanted and encouraged, you know, a lot of my staff to cycle through the job site and watch and, you know, pay attention to this thing so they could just see how it worked and see if we had some future with this whole thing. But we did have on our staff a construction inspector, and we had our engineering firm also, who had experience overseeing those kind of projects, watching pretty closely on the job too. So,
joint project.
Yeah.
How do you find new ideas? I mean, are there conventions?
There are. Yep. There's there's a National Water Association. There's California Association of Water Agencies. They have lots of technical expertise. It's always good to get out of town and visit with your peers from other places because other people are experimenting with stuff. They have trade journals and things like this. And, of course, the never-ending slew of salespeople calling you saying they got something better mousetrap. So there's a lot of opportunities to catch stuff. The other thing, too, is a lot of the staff, a lot of my staff, of course, have to have state certificates in water distribution and treatment and things like this. And so they have continuing education hours that they have to put in every year also to keep their certifications up. So there's all kinds of opportunity for exposure to new ideas that are out there.
Isn't it fun sometimes to go to one of those conventions and use the seminar, what's new in whatever the industry is?
Yes.
And just see some of the whiz-bang stuff that's out there. When you go...
You do the same thing, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's but I think now, and maybe it's being a little bit more well-versed, I didn't want to say aged, in the industry, a lot of times the vendors are the idea sources, not for what they're selling, but for various applications of things that they've heard about or they've experienced or they worked in tandem with. And so I was wondering if it was the other general managers, if it was the convention floor or if it was in the seminars where you've been able to kind of come up to full speed here in a quicker period of time.
I would say the convention floor is where most of the ideas get or at the trade show, but certainly there might be a panel that's, you know, specific on something that you say, how about that, we should try that.
So how many of those do you go to each year?
We have I'm probably about the one per year, but my staff, like I said, they go to different things.
Continuing ed doesn't count.
Yeah.
Now the bar is a spot where you get a lot of ideas and the napkin doodles and you come back.
Exactly.
And go, this is cool.
That's
stuff.
That's where the great ideas come from.
Yeah. Yeah. You just make sure you got the business card. Otherwise, who was doodling on this napkin? I don't remember, man. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:41. We'll be back with more from Dave Hall.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time, 8:45. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Dave Hull. Dave, operating in the California climate, this drilling process I would think would make it easier for permitting because you're not impacting nearly as many of the things that normally are concerns for all the permitting agencies. Did that prove to be the
well, you know, case? it didn't in this particular project because we get an encroachment permit annually from the county to do our water and sewer line replacements anyway, and if there's something special on them, then we check back with them. In this case, whether we did the open trench or did the drilling, we had to have a traffic plan and know the hours that we were going to do it and all this kind of stuff, go back to the county anyway. So it was kind of a wash with that kind of thing.
Wash. I got it.
You get it?
That didn't go past me.
You know, one thing I wanted to kind of remind everybody, though, is you're going to start hearing these our water conservation messages again. And we've talked that the state back in early February decided to extend the water conservation regulations, the water emergency regulations. So it's still important to everybody to do that, even though Ruth Lake's been full since December 22nd.
So, somebody was in last week and made comment. Damien pulled up on the computer. Shasta, is almost full.
Yeah,
that's been years.
Yep,
that's cool stuff.
Whiskey Town's going down the glory hole. It's all, you know, it's back to where it was, but it's a cyclic thing, and we do live in an area that has those things. So it's always good to use the water wisely, but we're still under the gun for these regulations. So I just want to remind everybody, last year Well, between June and now, we've in Humboldt Community Service District, we've cumulatively reduced about 10.5%, which is great. Everybody out there should feel really good about that. That's what's that really mean? Well, that means we saved somewhere over 80 million gallons of water. So that's a lot. So everybody did a good job.
Which in our area then means that the ocean is fuller?
Yes.
Okay.
That's right, because it ran off into the ocean.
Downhill.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah, it contributes to sea level rise, right? Yeah. Anyway, so that's where we are there. So everybody did a great job, and I want to encourage everybody to keep doing that because we're still under the gun for the same things. Now, the state may reevaluate this in May coming up in a couple of months. And we may be able to get out of those restrictions. Then they're going to look and see if the state's still really in a drought or not. So
so it's not necessarily locked into October?
That's right, which it is right now. Right now the rules go till October, but they may change them in May. So anyway, stay tuned for that. But please do your best to wisely use the water that we send you.
More ice cubes.
Yeah.
Oops.
You're back to the trade show again, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I think most people, if they have not gone to conventions, see them as playtime. You know, you hear about some of the retreats and stuff. But I think most of us see them as opportunities to kind of get your head smashed around a little bit and see new ideas and new applications and what's out there and what the big guys are doing.
But I think you got to go with that attitude. You know, these ones that I've gone to.
The new idea one.
Throughout my career, you know, that's more work than being at work. You know, at work we do, 8-9 hours a day kind of thing. You know, those conventions and stuff, you know, I'm putting in 13-14 hours, at 4 days in a row. And then flying back and forth, it's a lot of work, but like you said, it's a condensed version of all the stuff that's out there. So there's quite a download of information you can bring home and try some new things.
Successfully,
we hope. Yeah, that's the goal.
So what is this construction season look like? You got a major in there, or is it a bunch of these smaller ones that we might see your folks and may not see your folks?
This is coming up to be an interesting year. How much time do we have? A couple minutes?
About 30 seconds.
About 30 seconds.
It's not gonna
we'll,
be
talk
that,
about, is, we'll talk about it next month.
All right, yeah. It's not going to be that interesting, Dave.
No, really, it is.
Fair enough. Thanks for coming by, bud.
Okay, thanks.
We've been Talking Shop this morning with Dave Hall. Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day, hug someone you love. See you then.